We worship you. We can't stop worshiping you because you're worthy. And just praise just springs spontaneously from our hearts to you because of who you are. And all you do day by day without recognition, we appreciate who you are. We thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your goodness to us, your presence in our midst that we can feel. Lord, we honor you and we give you your place as we go into this ministration of the word. I come and I humble myself. So I stand in order under the covenant of my fathers and of the Lord Jesus Christ, humbling myself of every confidence in my preparation, in my natural ability. And I lean entirely on your mercy and your grace to enable me use that preparation the way you would desire to do all of your will in this time of ministration. Anoint me afresh with fresh mercy and unction from your throne. Help my infirmities so that, Lord God, I will speak as an oracle of God, that your word will flow out of me like a stream of living water, Lord, bringing life and strength and health, a fountain of joy unspeakable, flowing, Lord, from your people, from you, through me to your people, in the name of Jesus. Let your word come with power and clarity. Let it come with simplicity and the comfort and love of the Holy Spirit. Help me, Lord, to be faithful to you, Lord, a pure chalice, seeking the honor of you and of my fathers, so that I will speak not of myself, but I will speak only as you would direct me to speak, in the name of Jesus. Let your word be backed under the covering of our fathers, Lord, with power to break yokes, to open blind eyes, to strengthen the feeble knees, so that, Lord God, you will take us from where we are and cause our wills to be more submitted to yours, our minds more illuminated with the light of revelation, so we can run the race that is set before us, and our emotions further controlled by the power and the fruit of the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask for mercy to be faithful. Help me to be concise and to be precise, not saying unnecessary things, but as a scribe instructed into the kingdom to bring forth out of the treasure of this word as you inspire. Lord, things new and old, causing the name of Jesus to be glorified, refreshing to come to my fathers and my brethren, and edification and increase to come to the body of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's a great honor and a great privilege for me once again to bring the word to you, brethren. And I want to give honor to my spiritual parents, Pastor and Mommy. Thank you, sir and ma, for your love in spite of. Thank you, because I indeed owe you my life. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your faithfulness, your kindness, irrespective of everything and anything I've done. And I thank you for the privilege, your faith in me, that gives me faith that this will go well in Jesus' name. Amen. And there must be something they see. God will help me in Jesus' name. And brethren, thank you for your love and your support. We trust that God will give us a time, a wonderful time in the Word that will bring about edification in our lives in Jesus' name. The title of this exhortation that God has given me, that God dropped in my heart, is living God's dream. And you need to ask yourself what you're living. Are you living a lie, or are you living God's dream? Because many times, you know, either you're living God's dream or you're not. And if you're not living God's dream, then you're living your own. And many times what we do is coming from the father of lies. We will not live a lie in Jesus' name. So living God's dream. So the first thing is, what is a dream? You want to ask yourself, what do you call a dream? A dream, as you already know, is a series of thoughts, images, and sensations occurring in a person's mind during sleep. Thoughts, images, and sensations. You imagine yourself in Acapulco on holiday, flying and landing, and you're doing everything, and you wake up and alas, it was a dream. You know, a dream comes through multitude of business. You know, you are believing God for that contract and you have a dream. And just enter the place and they gave it to you and wake up. Praise Jesus. You are giving praise and worship and just wake up and you are praying in tongues. Ah, it was a dream. So it looks real, but it's not real. It's real in the sense that you saw it. in your mind, but it's not real in the sense that it's an experience in the physical. You know, the same way we experience things that are not real. Sickness is not real. Poverty is not real. Lack, doubt is not real. It's not, I mean, it's real in the sense that it's, you're going through the experience. But it's not real because it's not in line with the Word of God. So that's one type of a dream. One that occurs in your sleep that is, you are experiencing the reality, so to speak, but it's not in actual life. Then you also have a second type of a dream, which is really a precious aspiration, an ideal that you are trying to achieve, a picture that you have before you that you're running to attain. We can also call that a dream. Okay, now it's important to mention that God has an ideal for all men. Now, all men may not experience that ideal, but God has prepared that ideal. Amen. So it's important to understand a dream from that context. Now, to illustrate my point, in 1863, in the United States of America, there was a declaration called the Emancipation Declaration that freed millions of slaves. It was in law. It was declared that they were free. However, 100 years later, there was a young man by the name of Dr. Martin Luther King who was saying that, yes, they've declared it, but we're still not free. There was segregation. There were places you could not go to. There were ceilings. There were things that you could not just attain. There were places you could not even enter. If you entered a bus, you know, you could not sit down because certain seats were for certain people and things like that. And he had a dream. Remember that iconic speech that he made on August 28, 1963? Says, I have a dream. And he articulated, by the help of the Holy Spirit, I believe, a speech. In fact, it's ranked like the most powerful speech of the 20th century in some quarters. You know, that's how powerful that speech was. To say that, look, racial integration, racial equality, fairness was the will of God, and that that the blacks should not settle for less. It was not fighting physical. It was just the fact that we are not going to take this. We are not going to allow this. And you know, in one phrase there, he said, "I have a dream that my three young children will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream." The question is, he articulated this dream and people bought into it. They believed it. They fought for it. Not physically with arms, but with the fact that I'm not going to leave. I'm going to sit down on that bus. I'm going to sit down on that seat. And, you know, of course, the police had to rough them up. And it became, you know, an issue. And eventually they won. So that today, they're far freer than they've ever been. Of course, they're still fighting for it. The dreamer did not live to experience the dream. But his children experienced the dream. Yeah, I think he has a son that's alive, that has experienced the dream. So, you see, your dream should transcend you. Your dream should not be only about you. Your dream should be beyond you. It goes beyond generations. Beyond you into generations. I'm giving you an example. And you see people that are doing things in the earth today, unbelievers, so to speak. But in the honesty of their hearts, they're living out a dream that God has given them that is beyond themselves. Not for themselves, you know, doing things, using their own money to look after people that they don't know at all. Working in orphanages, sometimes giving up what they have and going to work in some remote part of the world. And you tell me that God's not going to reward those kind of people. You say because they're not born again. They are sheep that are not of God's fold. They are not of this fold, but they are going to become of that fold because of what they're doing. The key, brethren, is what are we living for? And how are we living our lives? This is the essence of this exhortation. So the first thing to say is this, that God has a dream for all mankind. Give me Jeremiah 29 verse 11. We know the scripture, that my thoughts towards you are thoughts of peace. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts, let's read it together, brethren. For I know the thoughts I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an that expected end is God's ideal, where He wants you and I to end up. And God is proclaiming that dream or that ideal through His servants throughout the earth. It's the dream of perfecting the character of Christ in us that gives us permanent access to the glory of God. So that, you know, it can come to pass. You know, the Bible says, thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory. Now, the will of God is to perfect that kingdom, is the dominion of the Christ character in you and I. So, if that kingdom is there, then God entrusts us with the power to carry the glory. And so, it now becomes not thine, ours is the kingdom. Ours is the power. Ours is the glory. This is the God's plan for you and I. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 27 to 28. Articulating it, the Apostle Paul. Give it this to me in the New King James, please. New King James. Thank you. Okay. To them, I can't hear you. To them, God willed. So this is the will of God. God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery. So it's not on the surface, it's a mystery. Among the Gentiles, we are Gentiles physically, but we are Jews spiritually. Which is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. That not just Christ as a baby when you get born again, but Christ as a mature man, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Next verse. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom. So it takes the wisdom of God being taught to you and I to bring us to develop that Christ character. That we may present every man perfect in Christ. This is scripture. You can remember the pastor was preaching beautifully this morning. You know, every man can be perfect in Christ. This is scripture. Every man perfect in Christ Jesus. God doesn't say what He does not mean. So we can all be perfect in Christ. Amen. This is the will of God for our lives. Okay. Now with that perfection of the Christ-like character, we now receive the outpouring of the Spirit without measure. That's what we're waiting for now. That's where we're living right now. And by the grace of God, we then take that power and that glory onto the ends of the earth and demonstrate the manifold wisdom of God. This is God's dream. And His dream is bigger, way bigger than your dream. In fact, your dream is inside God's dream. And if you live God's dream, you will fulfill your dream. This is the will of God. Look at Ephesians 3:10. When you read the scriptures, say, this is, it's talking about me. This is my dream. This, I buy into God's dream by faith and by choice. No, God doesn't force. Ephesians 3:10. To the intent that when, now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church, the many-sided wisdom of God. Give it that to me in the Amplified. You know, in that iconic speech, he used the word, Martin Luther King used the word now 3 times. You know, he keep mentioning now, now. You know, he emphasized we can never be satisfied. You know, to achieve your dream, you must not be satisfied. You will get to a place where people tell you, ah, you're okay, but you must keep looking at the dream. The purpose is that through the church, the complicated, many-sided wisdom of God in all its infinite variety and innumerable aspects might now, dream, you know, for you to run with your dream, you must see it now. Not future, not as a hope. You must be seeing it now, present, okay? Might be made known to the angelic rulers and authorities, principalities and powers in the heavenly sphere. This is the will of God for us. Amen. And look at Deuteronomy 28 verse 1 to 40. We're not going to look at that. Just scroll that through for me. Alright. We see in Deuteronomy 28 like Pastor has taught us so many times, this has not been experienced. And I'm looking at the generation that's going to perform it in Jesus' name. It's not been experienced. All these verses that come upon us will overtake us if we hearken unto the voice of the Lord our God. Next verse. I say you shall be blessed in the city. You shall be blessed in the field. Next verse. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the fruit of your ground, the fruit of your cattle. Everything you have will be blessed. It's the will of God. Verse 11. Verse 11. And the Lord shall make thee what? Plenteous in goods, in the fruits of your body, both spiritual and physical, and in the fruits of your cattle, in the fruits of your ground, in the land which the Lord swears to thy fathers to give thee. You must enter that land. It's in that land that these promises apply. This promise does not apply any other land. You must enter that geographical Canaan. Those blessings were limited to that. The same way you must enter into the destiny that God has prepared, the ideal of the perfection of Christ with the glory of God without measure. It is in that place that this comes to pass. So that's what we're living for. You know, and by the grace of God, God's going to perform it in Jesus' name. All right. So we came to the truth and we refuse to live a lie. Must refuse to live. Don't anything less than this is a lie. Let God be true. And let every man be a liar. Anything less than this is not the perfect will of God. It is not the perfect will of God. Amen. And the same thing we must do. You know, so we're talking about us being Christ-centered, being kingdom-oriented, doing everything we are doing, anointing-based, to be able to get to this goal. Christ is the center of everything we are doing. We are not the center. And parents, we need to train our children like that. To let our children understand that Christ is the center of everything, not themselves. We gradually teach and train and show them that it's bigger than you, it's more than you. So the day God comes to talk to them, they will understand God's voice. David, as good a man as was, and a man after God's own heart, didn't train his sons the way he should have. So Absalom, thought it was all about him. To the point that he thought that he should take his father's throne. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? A son saying that he's going to take his father's throne. And really plotting and planning to do so. Bible says his father had never done anything to say, why have you done what you have done? Didn't correct him, didn't train him. So brethren, we must train our children so that they love God. They hear the voice of God. They understand sacrifice. Generosity, they understand excellence, so they can walk with God and they can be greater than us. That's the will of God. Amen. So we must key into God's dream and live out its reality. Now, three things you must do with the dream. You must believe it. You must believe the dream. When we believe the dream, we must contend for the dream, because there's opposition to your dream coming to pass. And then you must process your dream. Amen. All right. What are the three things again? First one is that we believe the dream. Second is that we contend for the dream. And the third is that we process the dream. We believe the dream by faith. We contend by spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare. And we process it by divine love. The more you walk in love, the more your dream comes to pass. Amen. As you will see as we go further. Now, why is the dream important? As we continue. Why is the dream important? Why is this important? Why is God emphasizing this to us now? Well, it's important to understand that dreams arise from three sources. God is the only self-existent creative being in the universe. Exists by himself. The other beings are angelic beings and human beings. And those two beings are dependent on the self-existent God. It's very important that we understand that. Okay? So dreams, God can give you a dream from his heart. When I'm talking about dream, I'm talking about two sets of dreams. The dream where you are sleeping and you dream. And the dream where God gives you an ideal that you are following after. Alright? God gives both. Okay? Now, man cannot really create a dream. Man can download man can download what God has already given. Okay, we can, and also man can receive, can as it were, come up with his own dream, you know, in his own mind, but he's not really creating, he's just manipulating pictures and images. No, Satan and man, to a degree, they can do that. You know, Satan doesn't create, but he distorts what God has created and then presents it in a different light. And it's different because it's not what God did, but it's different. You know, so it's a distortion of what God does. So you understand the fact that God is the one that gives dreams, okay? And it's important to understand that, you know, every dream that comes must be passed through the filter of the Word of God. It's so critical. If you look at, I'm just going to mention in Genesis 28 from verse 11 and 12, you will see Jacob had a dream. Now, God spoke to Jacob several ways, by dream and by revelation. So, but you know, many times we get this emphasis on dreams, you know, and Pastor has taught us well, you know, in the Old Testament, God used dreams because there wasn't scripture that God could use to speak to the people. So many times he had to give them a picture, give them an image, you know, that they could see so that they could operate by faith. All right. So, but we see here that the Bible says, and he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. Now go to the verse preceding this in verse 10. And he lighted upon a certain place, and tarried there where? All night, because the sun was set, and he took the stones of that place and put them for his pillow and lay down in that place to sleep. So if you are using the stone, which is symbolic of revelation that is coming from the Word of God, you can get a God-given dream. But if you don't put the stone, if there's not now enough of the stone of the Word of God, Bible says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and in all wisdom. When the Word of God is not dwelling there richly, many times you can have a dream just like a silly dream, you know, like you see us, you know, you see yourself walking down the aisle, you know, with somebody that you like as a young man, you know, and you now say that, this is a sign, you know, that we're going to get married. No, you just like the girl. That's all. There's not any sign. You understand? So many times, if you eat too much, sometimes you can get all sorts of funny dreams. Every dream must be passed through the filter of the Word of God. James 3:17. Is it pure? Is it peaceable? Is it gentle? Is it open to reason? Is it full of mercy and good fruits? Is it without partiality and hypocrisy? You can, by the time you do that, you will knock off all these other spurious dreams. So you're not bound to believe what somebody dreamed about you or what you dreamed by yourself. It doesn't align with God's dream. God's dream is the supreme dream. And you know what? God opposes dream to perform it. So there's no other power like, but you know, you have to believe it. God does not force. If you choose not to believe, then you open yourself up to another dream. We'll not open ourselves up in Jesus' name. So we see that. So, you know, being addicted to drugs is not God's dream. That's not God's dream. You know, so I don't know what's going on in your life. You may be dominated, you know, by sin in one area or by habits in another area. This is not the will of God. It is not God's dream. So we refuse to live a lie. We are going to put and process, we are going to contend for God's dream and process it and live it out so that we live the reality of God's dream for us and not another person's dream. Amen. All right, no, sometimes, no, people say when somebody dies, no, prematurely, people say, we don't know what God has done, how God has done. It's not God that did it. God is not the one there. He's not the one there. God's going to help the people in that situation and take them further and all that. But the point I'm trying to make is that it's not God that, you can't say that God has a special purpose. No. If it's not in line with this, it is not part of God's dream. Now I know it's happened, but it's a lie. And we now must make sure that we enforce the truth. The lesson here, brethren, is that we enforce the truth in our lives. It doesn't happen automatically. We must make sure that we are not, the devil is not setting you up as a dummy. You know, you do exam, you know, and the devil is telling you, you are going to fail that one. You're going to not go to pass this one. You're not going to do this one. Tells you, you know, in the past, this is how you have always done in this story. It's the past. No. That was in the past. It's gone with the past. We're talking about now. Now. We take what God has said and we put it to work and process it. So they can leave the... No, maybe before he beat me. The devil can beat you 7, 8, 10 times. One day you're going to win. If you refuse to give up. And you know, when you once you start winning, you will now dominate. You will beat him black and blue. In that area, he will be under your feet. And that's what this is all about. Living God's dream in every... So start looking at areas. Don't be afraid of the areas of your life where things are not working according to God's dream. Face them, look at God's dream, and begin to enforce God's dream in every area. Amen. That's the will of God. Okay. Number two, God's dream for us includes our dream. I've mentioned that just to show you. Genesis chapter 37, verse 5. Quickly. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Genesis 37, 5. And Joseph did what? Dreamed a dream. And he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. We won't talk about it. We said that their sheaves bow down to his sheaves. Next, give me verse 9. Genesis 37, verse 9. And he dreamed yet another dream. He's graduating. His dream is graduating. May your dream graduate in Jesus' name. And you go from glory to glory to glory. Amen. And he told it to his brethren and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and 11 stars made obeisance to me. Next verse. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? Did they bow? Did they bow? They did. So it's not so sometimes people around you may not believe in your dream. They may not believe in your dream. But once your dream is in line, once you are following God's dream, pursue your dream. Because if you're looking for encouragement from people, sometimes you won't get it. And then you give up on your dream because some people cannot see what you are seeing. Keep looking at what God is showing you. Amen. That's the will of God. Okay? Now look at Genesis 41, 57. This was his dream. My brothers will bow. My mommy and my brothers and my daddy, they will bow. That was the dream. 41:57. Thank you. Okay. And all countries, let's read it together, brother. And all countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to do what? Buy corn. Because that the famine was so sore where? In all the lands. You know what happened? All the countries came to Joseph to bow. God's dream for him was that all the countries would bow. But his own dream was that his family would bow. But God's dream was bigger than his dream. Far bigger. You know that's how God's dream and your dream are. God's dream for you is far bigger. Eye has not seen, neither has ear heard, neither has it entered in the heart of man what God has prepared for them that love him, that process their dream. Process your, tell him to process your dream. It's process God's dream. Process God's dream. You have to process God's dream. And you know what? This interpreting his own dream was dependent on working on other people's dream. Always. Thank you, sir. Always. So to even get to this point, he had to have worked on the dream of the butler, worked on the dream of the baker, worked on Pharaoh's dream. So when you are going, the way your dream is coming to pass is not known to you. The children of Israel were going to the promised land, but they didn't know the way. Psalm 103 verse 7. The Bible says that Moses knew God's ways. The children of Israel knew God's acts. All they saw was that, hey, we need to have another problem. But Moses knew the way. Brethren, we must know the ways. We must know the ways. So when God is taking through the way, you will understand. It's the way of love. is the way of love, really. That's the way. So we see that our dream is simply a part of God's dream. And that, you know, sometimes God doesn't even have to give you a dream. Now, when I say dream, I mean the dream where you sleep and you get a dream. I'm talking about sometimes God gives a revelation. Many times in the world. Look at Daniel. Daniel didn't dream. But he had revelation. And God was talking to him. So really, we're talking about revelation. We must walk, operate by revelation knowledge of the word of God. And let God open our eyes to see the treasures that are hidden in this world as we grow and as we walk with him. Amen. So we begin to prove God's dream. And you see that Daniel, by receiving revelation and divine equipping through that, became a standard to others. Look at Daniel chapter 6, verse 2 and 3. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts on them, and the king should have no damage. Next verse. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because of what? An excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. It wasn't because of knowledge, oh. It wasn't understanding. It wasn't how much he ate. It was his character. That's excellence. That's the character of Christ right there. If you go to Daniel chapter 5 verse 12, you see it. Again, 5:12. Give it to me quickly. Thank you. For as much as this is somebody else's report of Daniel. It's not Daniel's report of himself. It means that Daniel's faith and life was sounding out like a trumpet. And people were seeing it. Okay? So far as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding. The first thing was the character. Then the knowledge, understanding, interpreting of dreams, showing of hearts and dissolving of that were found in the same Daniel. Now, I'm telling you that by the mercy and the grace of God, as you walk with God together in unity in the house under the covenant of our fathers, there will come a time where incredible photographic memory will be found in you. Incredible artistic skills will be found in you. Incredible musical ability will be found in you. The many-sided wisdom of God will be found in you. But it will come first with an excellent spirit. This is the key. Why? Next. Next is the vision is necessary so that we do not perish. We need a dream to run the race of life. We need to run. So we need to be seen. So really, many times, it's the same dream of God's dream, but it comes in phases. So God gives it to you in phases. Gives you in phases. So you must be, brethren, the bottom line is we must be seeing something. You cannot be walking in darkness or be walking in what happened yesterday or happened before. Look at our fathers. They come here and they bring out new treasures, new. New, fresh. How's it happening? It's relationship. So the same way to be running and to be going for that, you know, you must be letting God open your eyes more and more. So that's why that dream thing is necessary. So that otherwise you stop running. Because without a vision, the people perish. Okay. All right. Next one is that it's important to understand that because we are created beings, we're dependent on God. So you cannot take your dream, it has to be given. The one that comes from God has to be given. Bible says no man can receive anything except it first be given from heaven. There's some things you can take, but you get to a point where you need God to give you some things. Amen. I'll give you an example. Daniel, I mean, we all know the story. He was gifted with dreams and understanding interpretation of dreams and all that. They were at least 10 times better than their peers. And there were things that they were doing. But one day, they set him up and put him in the lion's den. And he was unfair. It was not right. You know, sometimes that, Satan can do some things and set us up. But you see, that's why you must have grown to a point or be growing to a point where you are allowing God to you and I are walking with God. That's what I'm trying to say. So when you are walking with God, God can give you what you need at certain points in time. Sometimes you cannot, many times you cannot take. So if you are used to taking, you don't ask whether I should do this, you don't ask whether I should do that, you do what I like when I like, you know, then you know, and things are working for you. Be careful, oh. Because you are not processing that thing the way God is. That's not how God does his things. And you will get to a point where you're taking. It's not going to solve the problem in front of you. You need God to give. You need God to give. Daniel was in that situation. God had to send an angel. God gave an angel. An angel went and held the mouth of the lion from morning till night. The angel didn't sleep. You know, if it's us, they are holding the mouth of a lion. You know, I want Romeo. They left the mouth of the lion. Or the influence win. Of course, God doesn't make mistakes. You know what I mean? But what I'm just trying to say is that, you know, the arm of flesh will only take us so far. The arm of flesh will only take you so far. Acknowledge God. Submit to Him. Obey Him. Do what it is in line. Do it. It's not just enough for it to be right or what God said. You must do it the way God said. In the time God said. It's not enough for it to be the will of God. It must be the timing of God. It must be the way God wants it done. Otherwise, it's not completely God's dream. And to get to this end, that land where the ground will bring forth fruit of itself, you are going to learn, you know, another will hold us by the hand and take us the way that we do not want to go to enter into that land. But enter we will, and enter we must, in Jesus' name. Amen. Alright, so it's also important that we dominate the flesh to be able to fulfill our dream. If you don't dominate the flesh will keep you out from experiencing your dream. It will rob you of your dream. You can see people who've made success, you know, in the world, you know, and they want to uphold the success, and they do something wrong. They do something wrong to try and win. And they find out that they did something wrong, and so they strip them of what they have, you know, and take them from a place of honor to a place of disgrace. You see stories every day. I don't want to mention any names. See stories every day. Recently, some people were ejected from an academy where their names were. May God not remove our name from a place of honor in Jesus' name. A place where their name has been written in gold. As where this one, you are in this area, or you are a father. And then they removed his name after they found out that there were flaws that he was doing. So brethren, no, don't do any deal with the devil where you do something good in a bad way and then cover, and hope that one day you will never come out. You are making a pact with a liar. He's going to set you up. He's taking you up to expose you. God's way of doing it slow and steady is the better way. Don't take any shortcuts. It leads nowhere. That's what it's doing for these people. So don't be like Samson when they are telling you, oh, don't do it this way. That's what I want. That's what I want. That's the flesh, bro. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. They say, no, you don't do it. Don't do that. Don't go. Don't marry from that place. No. You don't obey instruction. Don't listen. No, you don't obey instruction. You know what's happening? You may be getting what you want. You may be getting what you want. But that flesh that you are accommodating, it will come back to come and take from you what it gave to you. Because it belongs to him. But that's why the Bible says no man can receive anything except the first be given. You know what it means? You can take what you want, but ultimately you'll be taken back. So really, the one that endures and stays in your pocket is the one that God gave. Amen. So wait for it. Amen. God will help us in Jesus' name. All right. And finally, our eternal reward with God depends on how much of God's dream we fulfill. What you are going to be in eternity, give it to me, Revelation 22:19. What I will be in eternity is going to be dependent, thank you, Holy Spirit, on how much. And if any man, brethren, you are not going to do this now, so let's read it together. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy. What is he talking about? He's talking about the dream that God has given. This book is a book of the dream that God has given. The general aspects and the specific detail for each individual. And then the detail for all of us as a church. That's what he's talking about. See, if you take away from it, God will take away his part out of the book, and out of the holy city, and of things that are written in the book. So if there are things that are in the book that you deliberately ignored, then you know, what's going to happen is that when you want to get the reward, they will say, ah, he took out of that one, or it wasn't. So brethren, aim to fulfill everything. This is the key. Aim to fulfill everything. Alright? Always ensure that you make sure you fulfill it, because God, that's what God is. And that's why the Bible says in Colossians 1, say God is warning every man. That's why God is warning. He's warning because he doesn't want to take. He wants to give. He wants to give. He wants to give you honor. He wants to give you glory. He wants to give you immortality. That's what he wants to give. He wants to give you the fullness of the reward that is available. But, you know, he's not going to give if you don't fulfill the conditions. Like Pastor was telling us this morning. God will help us fulfill the conditions in Jesus' name. Now, two things that can affect us, just quickly before we go into the how, that can affect us from receiving the fullness that God has for us. One is sleep. It's amazing, isn't it? That we're talking about dream, but sleep can take you away from your dream. Spiritual sleep, and physical sleep. Eh? Sleep. God will have mercy on us in Jesus' name. Proverbs 19:15. See how sleep comes about. Proverbs 19:15. Slothfulness casts into what? A deep sleep. Doing things in a lazy way. Looking for shortcuts. Always procrastinating and waiting. It casts into a deep sleep. What's the sleep? The sleep is that you will not be really aware of what's going on. You will think that you are doing what you are doing for an A star, but when the result comes out, you get a C or a D. Now say, only. It's sleep. It's sleep that caused it. Give it to me in Message Bible. Message Bible. Life collapses on loafers. Brother, it's only me that read that scripture. Are you a loafer? No, so you're not a loafer. So let's read together. One more time. Life collapses on loafers. Lazy bones go hungry. You have to work hard. You know what the pastor said? The pattern is that you must be secular work, or not necessarily you must be, but secular work and be spiritual. It's together. That's what Daniel was. He was the president. There were three of them, but he was the most senior one. So that he has all overall authority. And then, of course, he opens his window every time to pray to the east. Three times daily. So the spiritual is there. All night is there. That one is there. Then not an excuse at all for serious work. By the time you do that, you don't have time for anything else. Very little. All you have time for is for your family. And just love them and have a good time and everybody together. That's the will of God. You don't have time for club care. Club. By the time you are finished, you'll be dog tired. By the time you've done everything. So Brennan, there's a pattern for these things, you know. But don't say that, oh, it's because I went to church, that's why I couldn't read. No. I couldn't work. No. The work wasn't finished. No. You will sleep for 3 hours and wake up in the night. Some people are doing it, so they say amen. I say you sleep in the night and wake up at 3 a.m. in the morning. More people are doing it. Amen. But what do you got to say? The point is that, brethren, we do it. We do these things. When we do so, sleep is out. So we have to be diligent, okay? All right. And the other one is reasoning. Reasoning. The devil comes with reasonings, imaginations. Suppose. Are you sure? Has God really said? And what about this one? Have you thought about this eventuality? What about this? What about this one? What about that one? And paints a scenario to you. It's very important that you're careful to stay with what God said. Accept what God said as an act of your will. And start off on the road and God will join you. Amen. Like Mom was teaching us beautifully yesterday. Jesus, until Jesus said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Then an angel came and strengthened him. Not before, after. So brethren, you must make up your mind. Don't say that it was that one. Reasonings. And a good example of reasoning is Lot. We don't have time to turn to it because of time. I want to save time. All right. But if you just check Genesis 19, 17 to 22, you can see what Lord did. The angel said, go up to the mountain. Ah, and Lord said, let my life be precious. You know, this mountain climbing thing, you know, I'm an old man, you know, and I have these two girls. How am I going to carry girls up a mountain, for crying out loud? Please, let's just go to a lower place there. Zoar, have mercy on me. Can you imagine? Have mercy, Lord, have mercy on me so I will disobey. Have mercy on me so I will settle for less than what you want for me. Is God wicked? That he has to go up the mountain. If he has to go up the mountain, that mountain is the place where life is. It's the way where blessing is. If God wakes you up in the night at 1 o'clock in the night, he wants you to do something. He wants you to do something. He understands the value of 8 hours sleep. If he wakes you up, there is something that is very important that you should take heed to. You must trust in the goodness of God when he gives you instructions that sometimes don't go contrary to your understanding. That trust is key. Otherwise, the reason we just say, oh, Tony Jare, Michelle Waku, Jackin soon. And he now wake up. Bible says, a little slumber, a little sleep. And so shall thy poverty come upon you as one that traveleth. Some brethren don't know the scripture. Proverbs chapter. Somebody don't want to quote it. 24:33-34. Proverbs 24:33-34. So shall thy poverty, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, oh no doubt, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come upon one that trapped and thy want as an armed man. You know what? Something will come and bind you. That's what he's talking about, an armed man. Something will come and make you do what you don't want to do. That's what it means by an armed man. And poverty will force you to do what you don't want to do, or experience what you should not experience. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. So denial of yourself is the way to freedom. True freedom is through self-denial. If you just indulge and say, I feel like doing this, and you do it. You feel like that, and you do it. And I know you are free to do what you want. But honestly, that freedom, be careful. Be careful that you are not playing. You are not. An extent that you don't go beyond. Otherwise, you begin to overindulge. All right, praise God. Now, how? The key here is to become more godly. More and more and more godliness. That is the way. That is the way that God has prepared for us, for us to fulfill the dream. All right. And the first thing we must shun after have been born again and giving your life to Christ is shun greed and ambition. Greed and ambition, where you put your own dream above God's own dream. Do not put your own dream above God's own dream. You seek first God's own dream, that's the kingdom with the power and the glory, and then all the other things that you want in your dream will come, in fact beyond what you expect. The Bible says in John 14 verse 2, give me John 14 verse 2 quickly. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. John 14:2. In my Father's house there are what? Many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. When don't give up the mansion God wants to give you for a room. Even if it's self-contained. Can you compare a room with toilet and bath to a mansion? Have you seen some mansions? Mansion, like 30 rooms, 3 sitting rooms, 2 swimming pools. Sports area. That's the meaning of mansion. It's not 2x2. Face my face you. Come on, look, come on, toilet. God forbid. But in our Father's house. So, but you know something? That is, the devil can tell you, it's in our Father's house. No. So you now know, put your own dream above God's own dream, and you are working for a room. Working for a room. And the men now get to say, that's not what the Bible said. You cannot claim what the Bible said if you don't fulfill the conditions that the Bible gave. This is very important. And that's why we need to shun. Always see the big picture. The big picture is the will of God. The big picture. God's picture is the master plan. You always follow the master plan. Don't follow the side elevation or the front elevation or the elevation from the back. Look at the house to total, complete. Architects, am I saying something correct? And just look at from the top. And understand that this is the whole picture. Then make your decisions based on that, not on some part. So don't let your dream, this living, I want to be the best here, I want to be best there. Always add, if God will. If God will. Do you understand? And do it God's way so that you can get God's results. Okay? Number two, we must allow God to teach us his way to fulfill dreams that are bigger than our imagination. There is a way to fulfill dreams that are bigger than your imagination. Daniel didn't know where he was going. He was just a Jewish boy held captive in Babylon. Joseph didn't know, he was a slave. He had no clue where God was taking him. I put it to you, brethren, you don't know where God is taking you. In this life and in the life to come. Both. But if you follow the way of love, you will enter into all God has for you. That is the will of God. Amen. He did it for Moses. Moses, Bible says, Moses was mighty in word and in deed in Israel. But Bible says he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. It's very important to understand. So you put, you follow the way. And the Bible says Moses knew the ways of God. So he walks in the ways of God. God gave Moses an instruction. And Moses did according to the commandment of the Lord. And God gave him an instruction. And Moses did. Go and read Leviticus. Go and read Numbers. Read Exodus. You read it. It's almost normal. It's like, what else is he going to do? He has a choice. Just like you have a choice. What are you doing with the instructions? This is the key. You have to do what you are asked to do. The way you are asked to do it. And follow the pattern. That's the way it's supposed to be. So that you can get the result. That's what the Bible says, the man Moses. God in Hebrews 3. Paul picking by revelation. The man Moses was faithful in all his house. What a CV. From God. It's important to understand. So stop carrying your own burden by yourself. What did I say, brethren? Stop carrying your burden yourself. There's a way. We're talking about the way now. We're talking about, first of all, putting God's dream first. Second, we're talking about the way you are carrying your own. The way you're carrying it. There's a way to do it. Don't carry your heavy burdens by yourself. And God has given us the way. Look at Matthew 11. 28 to 30. Matthew 11. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's read together. Come unto me. This is the present word God is giving again. You are trying to balance the secular and the spiritual. Because you need to excel in both. You are trying to balance secular and the spiritual. God is saying, come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Both physical rest, find it easy to do, and spiritual rest. In the sense that whatever you do, see, God's aim is that whatever you do on earth physically will make you more like God. As you are going to become an architect, to go to university, you're working, learning a trade. As you are doing it, you are going to be becoming more like God. That's God's design. If you do it the way he wants you to do it, it will make you more like God. You don't need to go to a monastery to become like God and then come back. While you're doing what you're doing, you can become like God at the same time by doing it God's way. So he's killing two birds with one stone. He's achieving two purposes at the same time in the same individual. You must understand. So next verse. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Pastor preaching today to us. The yoke is life. The yoke of eternal life. As a Christian, you must operate by eternal life. Living water, spiritual liquid. You must have the knowledge of it and you must use it in prayer. And be familiar with it, because that's the way to carry the burden. Is that that's the yoke. The yoke helps us to pull the burden. You know, the ox, the oxen had a yoke on their neck. And they can tie the cart to the oxen's tail or the midriff, and the ox will just be pulling. But it's not efficient. The yoke distributes the weight equally. It's physics. It distributes the weight in such a way that it's very easy for the ox to pull. It's easier for the ox to pull. So you know what? When the yoke is sitting properly, the ox can carry way more than he would have carried if you put it on his back. It's divine wisdom. Use the yoke and learn of me. So as you are using, like Pastor was saying, that's you learn of me, you know the only true God and Jesus Christ, his Son, whom he has sent. Okay? And for I am meek and lowly in heart, and shall find rest unto your souls. What is meekness? Meekness is being submissive, okay? Being open, submissive to authority, and then being open to the truth. Coming, it doesn't matter who the person that said it. No, being open to the truth. That's meekness. Then lowliness is acting on the truth that you have been given. Right, so they both work together, but that is how we are able to carry the burden. So your secular work, you know, and challenges you may be going through, you ask yourself, there is a way. The first to tell yourself, there is a way. There is a way, Holy Spirit. I know there is a way. Open my eyes. Help me, Lord. Open my eyes. And as God begins to open your eyes, then you begin to see how you're going to do what you're going to do to be able to excel, and God will take you through. You know, but don't just, let me put it up. You can't do it the way everybody else is doing it. You can't follow the crowd. You have to do it the way God said in the Word, by the help of the Holy Spirit. Amen? All right. Now, doing this, you know, learning about the way of God, which is really walking in divine love, you know, and obedience, involves self-denial. Self-denial. And that is key. That is key, because self must decrease for God to increase. God cannot increase when self has taken up all the space. We must create space for God to occupy by denying self. What does that mean? It means that we then, it talks about the use of your time and your resources. Okay, use of your time, primarily your time, you know, in such a way that you give time, sufficient time. And what is sufficient for A is not the same as what is sufficient for B, but let's just say sufficient time to the operating spiritual law, you know, prayer, both travailing prayer and communion prayer, the Word. We're talking about reading your Bible, studying your Bible, and then listen to anointed apostolic teaching and preaching. Prophetic teaching and preaching is very important. You know, those things are important. Fasting, you know, prayer. All those, it takes time. You must give time. And as we give time to those things, you know, look at Romans 13 verse 14. So the issue is now. Now, that thing keeps coming back. But put ye on. No, give it to me in the verse before this. Right. Let us walk honestly. You see that meekness there. As in the day. Not in rioting and drunkenness. See the self-denial that you cannot indulge. Not in chambering and wantonness. Not in strife and envying. At different levels. Physical things, spiritual things, emotional things. Strife and envying. Next verse. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh. It's a hard thing. But it's important to do it. We must deliberately starve the flesh, because it is the first hindrance to your entering into your destiny and fulfilling your dream. If the flesh does not stop you, I dare say that it's difficult for the devil to stop you. If the flesh, because the enemies within are more important than the enemies without. So the carnal mind, you know, the flesh. You know, we need to deal with those ones. you know, and the biggest blessings, and then, you know, human enemies and human opposition is not a problem for us to make progress and enter into the experience that God has prepared for us. So this is extremely important. And then next one is, obviously, we've spoken about that before, fighting the good fight of faith by frequent cleaning with the blood, loading with the word, firing by the spirit. We said that. I'm just reiterating. You need to fight the good fight of faith. You know, you need to make sure that your life, the first thing, that our lives must be systematic. Mommy has been saying that, you know, and I know, and it's really blessed, because I've been looking out for that in areas of my life and of my work. You know, everything is systematic. A system runs itself. Your prayer life should be systematic. There's some things that you do every day. Some things you do once a week. Some things you do, it's important. General confessions is not every day, but it's once a week, but it must be there. You cannot add an extra phase of prayer to cover for general confession. Now, neither can you read your Bible to cover for general confession. General confession is a specific instruction that you do once a week. See, so this is the, so our spiritual lives must be ordered. Okay, we must obey that seven pillars of wisdom, you know, honesty and humility, travailing prayer, you know, all that, communal prayer, confession of the word, meditation of the word, fasting and praying and leading a fasted life, obedience to the word, you know, and then the cycle begins again. You know, so it's important that those things are systematic, and then you look at the details of it. The details of it, and make out time. Oh, I have time. Oh, I don't have time. You know, you have, sit down and plan your time. Until you plan your time, don't tell me you don't have time. You have to sit down and plan time. Plan the time. Sometimes when I say plan time, it may be time that you're supposed to be sleeping. Yeah, all night. You plan that time I'm supposed to be, I want to pray all night. And you come and pray all night. And you can say there's no time. But then you must fulfill the laws. You're looking at me as if I'm saying something that is very hard. You're not saying amen. And brethren, you want to excel, you want to have an excellent spirit, you want to fulfill your destiny. You think God's going to lower the standard for you? He's not. We're going to rise to the standard. Amen. So let's rise. Tell your neighbor, rise. 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 Let's rise. Rise to it. And you know, as you go over what you're doing and check what you're doing, when the devil, God will, I beg your pardon, not the devil, God will tell you, this thing that you are doing for 40 minutes, it's now time for you to do it 1 hour. It's just to you. But as you obey it, you see a commensurate change, an improvement that tells you that it was God that told you what you are doing. That's how to hear God. Alright, so you begin to know, you begin to work God in detail. You know, we work with God together as a family under covering, but we also work with God individually, each person in detail. And you cannot hide under the general umbrella and say, we're all together, Pastor Bigger, we're all together, and then just because I came to prayer and I say hello to Pastor Bigger, then everything I do at home is okay. No, it's not like that. When you get home, the same order that you saw in church, you must impose it in everything that you're doing at home. Amen. Amen. You still love me. Amen. All right. Amen. So let's remember, we clean with the blood. Hebrews 13, 20 to 21. The blood removes sin. Amen. And gives us access to the life of God, so we can have right standing. We'll read and pray in the spirit. Travailing prayer is key. Look at Galatians 4:19. Travailing prayer is key, because with travailing prayer, that's when the Christ in us is formed, as it were. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed by travail. Okay, communion prayer, so we can fellowship in wisdom with the Holy Spirit and with God, you know. And then we move on to the last instruction. Refuse to be satisfied. Until you awake with God's likeness, we must refuse to be satisfied. Proverbs, Psalm 17:15. All right. Obey physical laws. You know, God's, Pastor was saying this morning, God is not spooky. So we obey physical laws. And we, so that means laws of diet, also rest, exercise, you know, those things are important. Hygiene is very important so we can live long. And then be consistent. We bring forth fruit with patience. We must be consistent. Stay consistent with it. Stay consistent. And it's in the place of consistency that we learn diligence. Diligence is consistency plus concentrated effort plus well-directed effort. So the effort is, so how you operate on a certain day when you wake up late may not be the same as how you operate on another day. No, so those things are important to understand. The day you have a lot of work, there's some things you do. The day you have not so much work, there's some things you do. So that's where you learn diligence, so that we can run. The Bible says that through faith and patience we inherit the promises and we fulfill God's dream. Let us pray. Let's talk to God. Let's talk to God in our hearts. Remember, your dream is in God's dream. Don't see them as separate. One is swallowing up the other one. So, follow after God's dream. The Bible says, follow after love. And then, follow after your dream as well. Pay attention to your time. Your time. What do you give time to? Make sure you give time to the things of the Spirit. Practice divine love and consistency. Check what you're doing. Make sure it's in line with the Word. Don't do the right thing in the wrong way. There are no shortcuts. Now, if you repent, you've done it in the past, if you repent, God's mercy will flow. Mercy will triumph over judgment. But don't continue in it. Ask God to help you so we don't live a lie in different areas. Stay close to the Holy Spirit. Submissive to authority, obedient to instruction. Beautiful Lord, wonderful Savior, I know for sure all of my days are held in your hand. And grafted into your perfect plan. You gently call me into your presence, guiding me by your Holy Spirit. Teach me, dear Lord, to live all of my life. brighten in faith and let them in our hearts. Pray and say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today to let me know that you have a dream for me that I choose to believe in. A dream to become like you, to carry your glory, to manifest it to my generation, and to fulfill your purpose to proclaim your gospel all over the earth and demonstrate the kingdom of God. Help me, Father, to be faithful to this calling and this dream that you've revealed to me, so that it will swallow up my own dream, and as I fulfill your dream and the dream of anybody else you bring across my way, you will cause my own dream to unfold and enable me to fulfill my destiny. So you will speak concerning me that I also was faithful in all your house, so I will enter in into the joy and the rest of my God. Help me, Lord, to discipline myself. Help me, Lord, to operate the law of the Spirit of life, to walk with you, so you will mold me and fill me with your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in tongues. Jaka kopa piansan zodaman pengala rapa pakala ke kaka soba jekami kono mambo ba rekaka ko beke de bebe kaka rapa kaka jeke de bebe komani gamma rapa kato mese tombahi rode ba 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 rapa ba 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 kandea ramado ramanada rapa ba 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 kambo bakatanto rombe kaya ronde beria jankom bene rene de Renelebe, Jacanco, Benelea, Robobo, Benelebe, Sata, Jeffrey Kekoma, Ronde Bebe di Kenema. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father, we thank you so very much for all your goodness towards us here today. We come, Lord, again under the covering of our fathers. And oh God, let's join hands, please. The shepherd and bishop and the authority of the shepherd and bishop of our souls in this house. Under the covering of our fathers, we declare, Lord God, that every single person in this place, under the sound of our voice, Lord, whether here physically or listening by electronic means, say, you are healed in the name of Jesus. From the crown of your head to the sole of your feet, say, you are healed. By the stripes of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are healed, you live in divine healing and divine health by divine life in the name of Jesus. Let's just pray in tongues together. Bromana kasende yende rekado reze parabego bakasekele rumba somebody be mane momo sabami apa raba poroma kaza kali ramba lebe zala kul rembe rebe nomo lo bakada kambo salama ba ramba bomba sama rembe le masase dumbe bene ngikula rembe rezeke rombe le bele masake lo kuma kabale bokoba bimbalo ndo kende rebe kedala ko sekende risembala makakasende in the name of Jesus, and every need is met according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Father, we're grateful. And so, Father, we come in order under the covering of our fathers with the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, the shepherd and bishop of our souls. And say, Lord, bless and keep us all. Lord, make his face to shine upon us. And the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon us. The Lord God gives us peace. God makes us head and not tail. We're above only and not beneath. And so we prosper in all that we set our hands upon to do. We're at least 10 times better than our peers in the name of Jesus. And so we possess the gates of our enemy, even the gates of death. And so we shall live, we shall not die. We shall live to declare the glory of God in the land of the living. The Lord satisfies us with long life, and he shows us his salvation, even the perfection and the fullness of Christ in the name of Jesus. And so, Lord, impart unto us the anointings of Enoch, of Abraham, of Joseph, of Moses, of Joshua, of Ruth, of David, of Elisha, of Daniel, of Esther, of Paul, and of John. In Jesus' name, amen. The grace, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen.